Good morning, friends. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. It is really good to be together on this sunny day. I'm so happy that all of y'all decided to come out and be with us as we worship together. We've got a really good service planned, and I'm excited. There's lots of good things happening today, so I encourage you all to open your hearts and your minds and your spirit and body, everything, to receive what God has to give you this morning. Couple of quick things as we begin. Just welcome. We have our stream in the cafe going. If you ever need to step out of the service, you can always go in there to connect with the TV. We're also streaming on Facebook. We do have offering boxes in the back and over here if you'd like to give an offering this morning. You can do that in person or online. We have connect cards in your pews. Love when you all fill those out. But we're just going to go ahead and get started singing this morning. As everybody's coming into the space, there's lots of activity in life right now. It's great. I don't know if anybody's listening to anything I'm saying. So I'm just like talking, you know, it's all good. So we're just going to get started by worshiping. Let's all stand together as we say our call to worship. Oh Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you.
As the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
Every blessing.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord. Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let us in freedom confess the wrong that we have done. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, right now we're going to do what we do each week. We're just going to spend a few moments sharing with one another. For those of you who are introverts in the room and maybe don't like talking to people a whole lot, I apologize, but it's good to push ourselves a little bit when we come to church. It's good to connect with people, and so I encourage y'all to just find a few people around you and share your name and maybe share a gratitude that you have this morning. If you have a lament or something that's not going so well, you can share that also, but let's do that now, and we'll call you back together in just a couple minutes. All right, if y'all want to take just 30 seconds, a minute or so, and then we'll start singing in just a few minutes, a few seconds, actually. So start wrapping it up.
As we start singing these next couple of songs together, you're welcome to have whatever posture is helpful for you to worship this morning. I'm going to sit. You're welcome to continue to sit as well. These are some maybe more reflective songs, an opportunity for you to just kind of take a deep breath this morning and just kind of settle in. Settle into the fact that you're not alone. You're sitting amongst family and friends this morning. Settle into the fact that God is here in our midst, that He came here inside each one of us, and we have His presence all together in an even stronger way this morning. This first song is really meaningful to me. I discovered it when I was on my sabbatical 2 summers ago. And it says what I feel a lot of the time. This song is called I Don't Have Much. And if anybody feels that way this morning, if you've shown up and showing up was all you had, that's okay. You can come and not have much this morning. And so we're just going to kind of declare that and make space for that reality this morning and say, but the heart that's beating inside my chest, the life that I'm living, that'll be my act of worship this morning. So we can sing this over you and you can sing along, but let's allow the Lord to really just minister to us this morning.
I have a heart that beats for you. I have a heart that to you. I have a life I'll give to you. And I don't have much. No, I don't have much. But I have a heart that beats for you. I have a heart that beats for you. And I don't have much. I don't have much. But I have a heart that beats for you. I have a heart that beats for you. Exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink. Like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I'll pour my love on you. Exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink. Like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I'll pour my love like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I'll pour my love
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning we get to do something really exciting that I really love doing. We get to welcome some new folks officially into the family. We're going to have our new members come up to the front and join. I'll meet you down there. Come on up. Right. So one of the reasons, let me stand in front of all y'all. I'm going to pass this down the line. Boop, boop, boop. All right. One of the reasons we get so excited about membership here is because we really are a family. You don't have to be a member to belong here. You don't have to be a member to participate here. Everybody is welcome to whatever capacity works for you. But when people choose to take the step of membership and say, I pick this weird family as my family, there's a level of commitment there that you really have to think about, right? You guys took your time. You thought about that. You're saying, I choose to be here for the good, for the bad, for the stuff we have to talk through. We're going to be family. And so I'm grateful that you guys are choosing to make that step this morning. And so I hope that you will go out of your way to come up to them and greet them, ask if hugs are accepted, and then give them if they are. And just love on them because they're joining the family today, and that's really exciting. So I'm going to pass the mic down the line and let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll pass it back down the line and do some membership vows.
I'm Zadie Ryan.
Good morning. I'm Pat Ryan.
I'm Lydia Williams.
I'm Michael Williams.
And Jean-Claude Berlew.
Thank you, guys. So each of these individuals this morning has decided they would like to make Embrace their church home by becoming members of our church family. And so I have some questions for you guys, and the appropriate response should make sense when you hear it, but it's either I do or I will. All the I do's come first, okay? Then we'll transition to I will. All right. So do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers in this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, races, and nations? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
Will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of Embrace Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Now to you, Embrace Church, I commend these people to your love and care. Do all in your power to help them stay on the right path, following closely after their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love them, encourage them, challenge them, push them closer to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's give them another hand. Yeah. Thank you. You guys may be seated. And please, do go find them and say hello after the service. Thank you so much. Really quickly, I want to just highlight one announcement this morning. A couple. Holy Week is coming, and it's coming fast. And so if you did not grab an announcement sheet this morning, there's still time. You still can. They are on the tables. That's right. They're still there. So the Holy Week events are on the top here. But we do have a Good Friday service, which will be in our chapel. It's always fun to do services in there. It's a different feel. We're having an Easter sunrise service, an Easter breakfast, and an all-ages Easter worship service. So look at those times and locations on this sheet. But I also want to point out we are doing a community art project next week. So next week is Palm Sunday, but also Passion Sunday. It can be either one, and we're going to do Passion Sunday. But the community art project is going to happen before church in the cafe, starting at 9:30. So for those of you who were with us last year, you might remember that we started a new tradition of processing around our worship space. It was a beautiful mess. I loved it. We're going to do it again. And so we made some banners last year and had you all take them home and do like family crest kind of things. We're going to do it a little different this year. We're going to have some new banners that each have one letter of the phrase Alleluia, Alleluia on them. And next week before church, we're inviting you to come to the cafe, spend some time hanging out with each other while you do some decorating. But we would love for a different person or household to do each one of the 16 banners that are new this year. And then those banners we're going to use to process on Easter morning. We also have some of last year's banners still in the church, so if you didn't make one, you can process with one from last year. And also really fun, we're just going to make sure everybody can carry something if they want to. On Easter morning, we're going to have little butterflies on sticks, and you can color your butterfly at Easter breakfast or in the cafe after sunrise service or even during the service. That's appropriate. You can color while we talk or sing or whatever else. And so you can hold a butterfly up during the processional too. So the butterflies will just be on Easter morning, but next week at 9:30 in the cafe, we will have the banner supplies for the Alleluia, Alleluia banners and would love for at least 16 different folks and households to come and help us with that. So mark your calendar. Just come. Come next week, 9:30. And that is the only announcement I wanted to highlight, but please grab the sheet if you can. And now we come to the part where I get to dismiss all of our kids to the Wonder Room. That's right. Let's give them a hand. This is our students who are 4 years old through fifth grade. If your student has never been to the Wonder Room before, we ask that you walk them up there just so we can make sure we get the appropriate paperwork. And then they will be upstairs to be, well, and then the older ones are downstairs to be fetched after the service. Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to invite my friends, Ryan and Amanda, and I think Ian is coming up as well. Let's give them a hand as they come forward, and then I'll introduce them. Ryan and Amanda and Ian are good friends of ours, and they're part of our extended Embrace family. They live and work in Honduras, and they're going to tell us some about what they do there in their ministry. These are folks that have become just really good friends of mine, and I'm just so grateful that we met them so many years ago. They used to be very involved here on Monday nights at the gathering, and Amanda worked at Common Good for a season of her life, and they were just such a gift to us while they were here, but still a gift to us as they're far away, because they are really sharing the love and the vibe and the spirit of Embrace, even in Honduras. And so they're going to be in town for the next few weeks, and we wanted to make sure they had an opportunity to give y'all an update about some of the things we're doing. Our church does support them with a monthly amount financially, but they're also going to give y'all an opportunity to support them as individuals if you would like. I 100% believe in what they're doing there in Honduras, and I think that they are really doing a true Jesus work and accompanying people that are going through so much, and they've experienced and faced a lot of suffering and just hard things over the last few years because they've been willing to walk that path of suffering with Jesus. And so I just have so much respect for them and what they do, and I'm excited for them to be able to share with you all this morning. So who's going first? Ian, you're going to say something?
Hey.
Ian, say it louder. Say, hey.
Hey.
Good morning, Embrace. So I'm Amanda, and this is Ryan and Ian. And we are in for the next 3 weeks or so. But this is the first time that we have spoken at church in like 2 or 3 years. So the pandemic for us was really, really hard. And during that time, we were going through a pretty big struggle with the government and this process of adoption for who is now a 17-year-old. And so when we would come visit, we just needed time to be filled and to worship and to take in the sermons. And so we just didn't have it in us to get up here in front of you all. But this year, things are starting off a lot better. We started school in February. And so this is the first year in 4 years since the pandemic that our classes have been normal. And so that feels really good. And we finally have our last date in front of the judge for an adoption, and that is April 17th. Yeah. So if you all could mark that down and be praying, because we still need some big things to happen, but it is the first time that we've had a date with a judge. And that is for our foster daughter, Tatiana. We have a short video. It's 2 minutes, and it shows what life is like at school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You want to take him?
Yeah.
No. Do you need to say something?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you need to say? Take out your passy.
Hey.
So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we teach PE at a local public school, and then Mondays and Wednesdays, we're there with English. So the video is just some clips from our last Tuesday. Our friend Tony came out to make us a quick video, so you can see some of the faces that we interact with daily. But then outside of school, we have a scholarship program for middle school students. Ryan works closely with some teenagers in a soccer program. And we also have a 17-year-old and her baby living with us. Her name is Cynthia and baby Ava. So outside of school, we're doing a lot. But the video will show you what Tuesdays look like at school. Yeah.
So yeah, like Amanda mentioned, those are PE days at school. Those are my favorite days. I like to run around and play with the kiddos. But yeah, as John mentioned, in our time here in Kentucky, Amanda worked with Common Good, and we learned so much about ministry together there and through Embrace. And so we are essentially trying our best to replicate the work of Common Good in a village in Honduras. It's slow ministry. We have been in the same place with the same group of kids for 7 years now. So we've watched our second graders, who are now, 15, 16 years old. I think it is the most effective way to do ministry. I've always been in awe of Common Good and also the ministry of Embrace. Just living day to day with people, being there in emergencies, in times of great loss and grief, but also just mundane day to day things. And Lord knows the people in our village need it. There are a lot of desperate families in desperate situations. And so that is the work that we're trying to do. And but after, and this is the fun part or the not fun part, after 7 years, our ministry is funded primarily through individuals giving monthly. And after 7 years, a lot of that, as you would imagine, has dropped off. It's harder to find new donors living in another country for 7 years. And so we're just humbly asking you guys, all the new faces I see and the people that I know here, we're going to be in the cafe after today's service, but we'll also be around for the next two Sundays before and after services in the cafe. So I just ask that you would come to talk to us, just hear our stories. We got some doozies, so be prepared, maybe. And yeah, I mean, if we could just get coffee sometime while we're here, grab a meal, we would love to connect with you and, yeah, just try to get y'all involved in what we're doing there in Honduras. And I appreciate the chance to speak, and God bless you guys.
Thanks, Ryan, Amanda, and Ian. You did a great job, too. We're going to have a time of prayer before I share a word with you all. And so if anybody would like to join me at the altar, you're welcome to come kneel with me here, or you can pray from your seats. But we'll just take a brief moment just to center ourselves a bit, to just be silent and be reminded of God's presence that is moving throughout this room, that is sustaining us and keeping us alive just as our breath is entering our bodies and leaving our bodies. God is moving all throughout us in this room today. In your silence, you may want to pray for Honduras and Ryan and Amanda and Ian and the things that they're facing there. The other things may come to your heart that you just want to take to God. But let's just take a moment of silence and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. God, we come before you this morning just asking that you would meet us here. Lord, we've already affirmed through multiple ways of how good you are and how beautiful you are. And Lord, we do desire to just connect with you and meet with you and know you more today. Lord, we know, we confess, Lord, we have very little to offer, and we just want to offer ourselves to you today. And we pray, God, that you would meet us here in this moment. God, it's hard to know how to pray for all the needs and all the things that are happening here, right here in our neighborhood and in our own community at Embrace and at Common Good, and so much need and so much pain. And it's hard to know what to ask for when we think of the enormity of the suffering that Ryan and Amanda see each and every day in their community in Honduras. know so many of us just are so overwhelmed by the immensity of the suffering and tragedy in Gaza, and the starvation and the violence and the destruction. And God, we just cry out to you. Lord, we know this is not your will. And Lord, we just pray that you would come soon. And that God, you would bring peace into the midst of all the hardship and suffering that's around us. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to not turn away all the time, Lord, but to be able to stay awake and to keep our eyes open, Lord, and not to turn away from those who need love and support and care, from those who need us to accompany them on their journeys towards wholeness. But God, help us not to get consumed, God, in the suffering and the evil and the madness we see, Lord, around us, but help us to hold on to the hope that you give us, Jesus. We pray we could hold on to the hope and also stay awake to the horror and the pain at the same time. God, help us to have that tenacity and that fortitude to stay in that tension, to stand and to act in this tragic gap that we live in, between the world as it is and the world that we know it can be. So God, we pray we could be about your business in this world, that you would empower us, Lord, to be agents of transformation and liberation and redemption and restoration in this world, that you would empower us, God, to join you in your work, to see this world redeemed. And now we come to you and we pray this prayer together that Jesus taught us, his disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I have a short message to share with y'all today. When I say I have a short message, sometimes it's longer than any of the others. So I don't think that's going to be the case this morning, but I always get myself in trouble with I announce how long something's going to be. Christina jokes that the when I have the least amount written down, I say the most. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But we'll get out of here at a reasonable time. Don't worry. I've told y'all this before, but I attended college. I'm in South Florida at a Christian school there in South Florida in West Palm Beach. I'm sure some of you all I know have gone to Christian colleges. It's a unique experience unto itself. There's blessings and there's also challenges to the experience. I grew up United Methodist. My dad's a United Methodist pastor. But we ended up going to a school in South Florida that had kind of the Southern Baptist tradition, even though they were non-denominational at the time. And I knew there were some differences and some similarities, but as I got there, I started to see, there are some differences between these different denominations. One way we saw some of those differences is we started visiting churches when we got down there. My wife and I were dating at the time in college, and we wanted to find a church that we could attend together, and so we started kind of just going and visiting different places. And church has always been important to us, always been in church, and really wanted to find one in college. I know some of you all maybe are even right now looking for a church. I learned in college that it's actually really hard to find a church where you truly feel at home and you feel like you resonate with this place. And so we had a bit of a challenge. My suite mate, he was trying out some churches, and he had found one that he liked, and he invited us to go with him on a Sunday to attend the church that he had found. So we all rode together to this church, and we went to Sunday school before church, which was kind of like a Bible study, and then we went to the service after that. And I remember we were all sitting in this room in a circle. We all had our Bibles. We were ready to study the Word and get into it. And I remember the teacher of the class asked if anyone would like to read Scripture. And quite a few people raised their hand and said, I'd love to read the Scripture for the day. And so the teacher went around and selected a few men to read Scripture in that Sunday school class. After the class finished, my wife told me that she didn't want to go back to that church again. And I was like, well, why not? It was okay, you know. And And so she told me, she's like, you didn't see what they did during that Sunday school class. I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, when they asked for volunteers to read scripture, I raised my hand, some other women raised their hand, and they skipped over all of us, and they only picked the men in the room to read the scripture. And she's like, it wasn't a coincidence. It was clear that they didn't think that I should be reading scripture. She said, I don't want to go to that church anymore. I didn't feel very comfortable there. You know, I'd been in church my whole life and never had been intentionally passed over in that way just because I'm a man and not a woman. You know, it shows also some big blind spots I had, and I still do, as a Christian man in this world, because I didn't even see that this was happening and didn't even recognize that this was happening, but I'm sure every single woman who raised their hand in that room certainly saw what was happening. There are far too many women who have had stories like this and far worse, who have been treated very poorly by their churches and other Christian ministries and institutions. We could not catalog all these stories in a book. It would take many books, many volumes to catalog all these stories. These Christians often will use the Bible to try to uphold this male kind of domination and often abusive treatment of women. I truly believe when churches place restrictions on the involvement of women or teach the subordination of women, I think it is hurtful, and I think it's truly unchristlike. It is not fit within the example of Jesus that we have in Scripture. We're going to talk about Mark this morning, and I bring this up this morning because Mark has a unique feature of his gospel. In Mark's gospel, one key feature is that women are repeatedly lifted up in Mark's gospel as examples for all of us to follow. Christina highlighted a couple weeks ago how the disciples, particularly the men disciples, fail miserably over and over and over again. They don't understand what's going on. They make mistakes. They screw up time and time again. And Mark is more clear about this than any other gospel writer. However, in Mark's gospel, there are women disciples or women followers of Jesus who are held up as examples and seem to get it right over and over and over again and see things actually that the men cannot see. In Mark, time and time again, the disciples fail and the women persevere. As we move through the chapters, these last few chapters of Mark, you're going to notice things become very intense and very dangerous as the story moves towards the cross. Jesus must walk down a very dark path. And Mark, the way he tells the story, is the male disciples in the story, they struggle to stay on this dark path with Jesus. Mark's story shows them betraying Jesus, deserting Jesus when he needed them the most. Over and over again in Mark's telling of the gospel, the men fail to stand in solidarity with Jesus, yet not so for the women in the story. The women followers of Jesus in Mark's gospel consistently are there with Jesus in his darkest moments, willing to go with Jesus all the way to the cross. This is how Mark portrays the story, and the contrast is so strong that it's hard to miss, and you have to pay attention to it, because it seems to me at least clear that Mark is doing this intentionally. He lived in a very male-dominated, patriarchal culture, and Mark chose to lift up the women in the story as examples for all of us to follow. Our story for today is a story about a woman who does a remarkable thing for Jesus. Mark doesn't tell us her name, but he does say that this story will be remembered and told any time that the gospel is shared from here on out. Yet, sadly, her story has not been remembered very well, and her story has not been told like it should. And so today we're going to honor this woman and all the women who have accepted the way of the cross and followed Jesus through the darkest of times. I want to read Mark chapter 14. Verses 1 through 9. The words will be behind me on the screen. You can also turn in your Bibles if you want. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." This event takes place during Jesus' last week. All right, and so things are getting very difficult for Jesus. He is about to be wrongfully arrested and eventually executed by the way of crucifixion. So Jesus and some of his followers left Jerusalem. Jerusalem was very dangerous for Jesus during this time because there were people looking for him. They were probably having to hide out in safe houses and get around in ways to avoid the authorities because they were looking to find a way to arrest him. So they went to Bethany, which often was kind of a safe space for Jesus. It was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. They went to the home of a man named Simon, who Mark tells us was a leper. Simon the leper. We don't know if he had been healed from leprosy or if he still had this condition, but he owned a home, and his home was a place of refuge for the Jesus movement. I love that Mark tells us that he was a leper because, once again, Mark is showing us what kind of movement Jesus was leading. Jesus was among those whose society had rejected. While at Simon the leper's house, a woman came and broke a very expensive jar of perfume, and she poured it over Jesus' head as an act of honor and love for him. The men in the house saw what happened, and they grew very angry at her for what she did. Mark tells us that they were angry because they think she wasted this expensive bottle of perfume. I also wonder if they were maybe angry by this bold and courageous and spontaneous action by this woman. Perhaps they figured a woman should not be so bold. The text tells us that they rebuked her harshly. I love what Jesus says in response. He says, "Leave her alone. Why do you make trouble for her?" I read someone said about this, that this statement should be an embarrassment to the male-dominated church, which has long made trouble for women. I can hear Jesus saying today, "Leave her alone. Why do you make trouble for her?" Then Jesus said that she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Jesus had told his followers 3 times before this that he would suffer and die. And every time he told them, they refused to accept it. Peter, even last week, we talked about how Peter, he even went so far as to rebuke Jesus and say, "No, Jesus, that's not going to happen. You're not going to suffer in this way." And the way I see this is, since Jesus' friends refused to accept his eventual fate on the cross, they could not join him in his pain. They could not be there in his dread, in his suffering, because they weren't willing to see it and accept that it was happening. They would not go down that dark road with Jesus. Maybe because it was too uncomfortable for them, maybe because they were afraid. And as a result, Jesus ended up facing his troubling future without some of his closest friends by his side. Maybe you've gone through something really hard in your own life, and some people in your life just couldn't go there with you. Have y'all had this experience before? Maybe some folks in your life just weren't comfortable and they weren't willing to see the pain. Maybe because it made them uncomfortable or was difficult for them. Or maybe they were overly positive and constantly tried to reframe your situation in some way to make it seem not as bad as it was. Maybe they constantly were putting that positive spin. Maybe these folks never asked you how you were doing because they were afraid of the answer and it left you feeling unseen and ignored. Because they refused to see your pain, to acknowledge what you were facing, they couldn't be there with you in your suffering. It appears that this woman was different. I imagine that she heard Jesus' words about his suffering and death. She heard about the threats made against his life, and she understood that things were getting very dark for Jesus. She loved Jesus, and she cared for Jesus, and she believed Jesus when he said he must suffer and die. And she was able to connect to his deepest pain, to the darkness and loneliness that he was experiencing. And she was able to honor him by pouring that perfume on his head as a way, I believe, to honor his suffering and the hard road that he was walking. In a sense, she said to him with her action, "I see you, Jesus. I know you are walking a tragic and painful path, and I honor your struggle, and I love you." And what a beautiful thing she did for Jesus. She stood in solidarity with Jesus in his suffering when so many others refused to do the same. At the crucifixion, the most painful thing someone could witness, so brutal, so awful, nobody really wants to see something like that. But even in the midst of Jesus' public suffering and pain, Mark tells us who was there at the cross, who was willing to see the suffering, who was willing to stay near Jesus in his darkness and in this traumatic moment. I'll read for you what Mark says. "Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there." So Mark tells us, paints a picture at the cross. The people there surrounding Jesus was this large group of women who had supported him up until that point and walked with him all the way to the end, even at this dangerous place at the foot of the cross. Mark doesn't tell us the woman's name who anointed his head with oil, but I imagine she was there at the cross also with the many other women who had stood in solidarity with Jesus in his suffering. This woman and the other women, followers of Jesus, teach us how to be a disciple of Jesus. They show us what it means to truly say, "The cross before me and the world behind me." Just as they saw Jesus in his suffering and chose to be in solidarity with him in his suffering, I believe we are called to do the same for one another. Christina preached on a similar passage to this a few years ago, and I love these words that she said back then. She said, "There is no shortage of suffering in our world today. When we belong to the suffering one, we are called to choose solidarity with those who suffer. So who is closest to you, needing you to really see and choose them?" So I believe that this woman offers us an example to follow, someone who was willing to enter in to really one of the darkest things that's ever happened in the history of our world and stick with Jesus through it and honor and see the pain he was going through. She gives us a model for us as we are seeking to show that same kind of love to one another, as we are seeking to be there for one another in the midst of the pain and the hard roads that each of us are traveling. And Mark, the true disciple, is actually not Peter, James, or John. The true disciple is a woman. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we do not tell her story. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to share communion this morning like we do every week, and this is a time for us to enter in to this just profound moment in the history of our world, this moment when Jesus, this God-man who came and walked among us, traveled such a hard road and was willing to go through so much, was willing to enter into the pain of this world to such a degree that he ended up giving his life for the sake of all of us so that we might be able to find life to the fullest. It's a very mysterious thing when we take communion, and it's hard to put words to it, and I think that's why people talk about it in so many different ways. There's even different names for this. Some people call it the Eucharist, some Holy Communion, some call it the Lord's Supper. There's so many ways to talk about this, and it's such a profound and mysterious thing that we do each week. But today, as you come forward, I just want y'all to reflect on this idea of a suffering God. We were talking about in our class before church, just this idea, if we are seeking to be in relationship and in communion with a suffering God, then the closer we get to this suffering God, this God who was willing to come and suffer for us out of his great love and compassion, the more close we get to this God, the more that this God takes over our heart and our lives, it will result in suffering for us. Because it will lead us down a path of compassion and solidarity where we are willing to, in some ways, take on the suffering of others as we stand with them and pray with them and hold them in what they are facing. Our hearts will break even more for the tragedy and the loss of human life because we will have more and more of God's heart. I want to be close to God. And if I want to be close to God, then I know that I have to be willing to take that road that often is hard to take. Love and suffering go hand in hand. And if we're going to truly love someone, then that means we will suffer at times. And so I want y'all to reflect on that as we come forward and take communion. And just what that means, that God loved you that much. And that God is inviting you to join and to have that same kind of heart for others. And think of this woman and how she gives us a real life model to follow, and how we can stand with others who are going through hard times and traveling dark roads. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We thank you for this beautiful story, this picture that Mark gives us, this image that he creates for us and paints for us of these last moments of Jesus' life and what it means to truly take up your cross and follow Jesus on that road. And it's a hard road to travel, and of course there is grace and forgiveness for the journey. And even those who failed, we're grateful, Lord, that you forgave them, and we're grateful that you forgive us, and you're willing to give us more and more chances as we fall away, or we abandon you, or we betray you. But God, we are thankful for the faithful ones that we can look back to and see, oh, okay, they stuck with it, and their legacy and their witness can inspire us and give us strength and courage as we seek to follow you on the way of the cross today. Lord, as we get closer and closer towards the cross as this season of Lent, Lord, I pray that our mind and our focus would begin to move towards this God, Lord, you who is willing to suffer with us and pour out yourself for the sake of this world. And I pray we would truly meditate on that, reflect on what that means for our lives. Lord, we need you so much. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this bread and juice. We pray it would be for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we would be filled up in a special way this morning as we share this meal together. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are helping me serve communion to come on up. If y'all just give me a moment to prepare the elements, I'll invite y'all up in just a minute. So here at Embrace, we take communion by, you'll just form two lines down the center aisle. As you come forward, just have your hands open to receive the bread and the juice. Your server will dip the bread for you in the cup and then hand it to you. We do have Kleenex if you need that. Gluten-free options at the front if you need that. We also have prepackaged elements in the back if you prefer to kind of take it on your own back there. That's totally fine too. But you're invited to come. Everybody is welcome as you feel led. can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him through the waters. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him to dark Calvary. I'll go with him to dark Calvary. I'll go with him to dark Calvary. I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him to the judgment. I'll go with him to the judgment. I'll go with him to the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Let's all stand together and sing that one more time.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. I hope that whatever God is stirring in your heart, that you wrestle with that, you reflect on that. If you feel some kind of uncomfort or discomfort, I pray you would lean into that, because often that can be where the growth and change can really happen in our lives. But I encourage y'all to really try to take whatever God's done in your heart this morning through all the different things we've done, that you would take a piece of that with you and allow it to kind of go from your head into your heart and to help lead you in the way you live throughout this week, hopefully lives of love and grace and compassion towards others. So if y'all prepare your heart to receive the benediction, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Go in God's peace. And don't forget to talk to Ryan and Amanda and greet our new members as well before you leave today.